A very good morning to you, my dear listener, wherever you find yourself this morning. So, well, it looks like the winter is descending upon us. And, well, just make sure that, you know, this winter you you keep yourself warm and those you love. So very good morning to you. And our time is about 34 minutes past the hour of seven. My name is Mike Oshavelli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. But it's not just about us talking. It's about you. Share your thought, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time. All right. So our time, 35 minutes, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So today is the 23rd of April. What happened? What event took place in Africa on this day? On this day in Africa, what happened? So on April 23rd commemorates the climax of the Battle of Quito Cuanavale in 1988 during the Angolan Civil War. This battle was fought between the Angolan Army Forces, the FAPLA, and supported by Cuban troops against the South African Defense Force, SADF. It ended in a strategic victory for the Angolan and Cuban forces, which was turning point that contributed to the eventual end of apartheid in Southern Africa, and paved the way for Namibian independence. So this day is also recognized as a holiday by the African Union. On April 23rd, on this day in 1993, Eritrea began voting in a United Nations supervised referendum to determine their independence from Ethiopia. So the referendum, which lasted until April 25, lasted for 3 days, resulted in an overwhelming vote for independence. And Eritrea was declared an independent nation later that year on May the 24th. Today, UNESCO established April the 23rd as a world book and a copyright day in 1995. So, UNESCO established April 23rd as a world book and copyright day in 1995 to promote reading, publishing, and copyright. So in Africa, this day is celebrated to emphasize literacy and cultural preservation, often accompanied by events highlighting the role of African literature in a global culture. So today also, this day is also observed as on April 23rd, this day celebrates African cinema as a vital cultural expression. It's the Africa Cinema Day, and it celebrates Africa cinema as a vital cultural expression. It highlights the creativity and storytelling of African filmmakers, showcasing a diverse African narratives worldwide. So, and what is our thought, or what is our thought for the day today? A buffalo does not feel the weight of its own horn. A buffalo does not feel the weight of its horn. So the proverb means that individuals are naturally equipped to handle the burden or challenge that are given to them. So just as a buffalo carries its heavy horn effortless because they are part of it, people are believed to have the innate strength and capacity to endure their own difficulties and responsibilities. So the proverb reassures that nothing beyond one's capability will come their way. Each person is given what they need in life and should not fear facing their circumstances. So if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, and when we come back, we get into what we have prepared for you this morning. Good morning, Namibia.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina Omjo, Chicago Shafa Sanana, Longishifa, Yai, Shimikimoshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo Samani, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Omjika, Saitanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo Ikelefem Media House, Way 20 Mimiha, Ukakombanga Nina. Para ongwashi pareki wimo po yomo programa detu moambo lengera selma konara heta tuimu datu datu heari hamano tano oliaj Eagle FM the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not fraud, it's a scandal. Scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Yes, of course, be part of the debate by setting the agenda. Wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. And that's right. Accessible anytime.
A team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
I. All right, welcome back, and thanks for joining us this very morning. Yeah, today I want us to focus on a last week 2025-2026 national budget debate. I think there were quite some of interesting, a debate that came through. There are MPs from across the political spectrum dissecting this budget, raised a concern about its effectiveness in addressing the critical challenge, the national critical challenges. So it focuses, and I think the debate really ranges from infrastructure development and education reform to unemployment and youth development, and there's so much to really unpack. So now the budget tabled under the I think a few weeks ago, the budget was tabled under the theme Beyond 35 for a Prosperous Future. I think it was from some expert, was viewed by some as a cautious yet a pro-growth stance by the Finance Minister, Erica Shafuda, allocating 106.3 billion to addressing pressing national needs. Now, but does this budget rise to meet our national challenges, or does it fail, or does it fall short of providing a roadmap to a better future, as some of the MPs are confronted? And I must say, the eighth parliament, I'm loving actually the eighth parliament, the new parliament. It's quite dynamic. There is also quality debate. You see quality debate nowadays. It become one of my watch series, you know. It's what it becoming now, one of my series, you know, to watch. I'm developing actually interest in watching the parliament on a regular basis. Not something that I used to do previously, but this one have really a quality debate and focusing on really issues that matter. That's why I want us to look at some of the issues that some of the parliamentarian have raised during the debate on the bill, on the national budget bill. So what we're going to look at the development budget versus the operational expenses that was actually raised by there were really some good point raised by the SWAPO parliamentarian Feni Nanyeni. That's one thing that we're going to look at. We're going to also look at the skills gap and unemployment crisis. Another concern raised by the Republican Party MP Matthias Mbundu. And then we, if we have time, we can also look at the education and youth unemployment that was raised also by McHenry Venani. So yeah, those are the issues that I want us. I would like us to go deeper into what are these parliamentarians saying, what are they saying, and because they really have raised some important point, maybe that we you and I and the nation should, you know, take up, also discuss about. So now let's begin with one of the most critical voice in this debate from last week, in my opinion, the SWAPO parliamentarian Feni Nanyeni, who pointed out a startling statistic. Maybe not many of us actually paid attention to that, but I thought maybe something that that we can look at. And she mentioned one thing that she talked about. It's only about maybe that what she mentioned was the only about 12% of the national budget, 12% of the national budget is allocated to development, to developing critical infrastructure, such as roads, schools, hospitals, and utilities like water and electricity. So now it's only about 12% of the national budget. Now, so I want you to think about this for a second. You know, if only about 12% of the entire budget goes towards infrastructure, so is that really, and this is exactly the question that she's also trying to communicate, that trying to pose here. Is that really enough to address the challenges so many of us face on a daily basis? So many Namibians don't have reliable electricity. Water shortages are still actually harsh reality in rural area, not only in a rural area, even in the urban area. Like, it's so those are the things. Well, now 12% when school lack basic facilities, you know, when school lack basic facilities, how can we then expect to produce skilled professional when actually school lack basic facilities? When also hospital, for example, are understaffed and under-equipped. So, and this is it's about our lives and health, on the line here. So that is something that actually maybe, that's a very important point that she was making, that 12% of the national budget, of the total budget, of the total national budget, and that actually is not enough to address all these issues that, all these challenges that the country is actually is facing. There should have been, you know, more to be able to address some of the priority that we want to achieve. So she also raised another critical point. You may come to that as well and have your point and share your opinion on that. She also raised another critical point, and this is how we borrow money. All right. So how we borrow money, she stressed that, borrowing should focus on a capital project, not just paying for recurring costs like salaries. So, and imagine. So it's like, if I can give you an example. So it's imagine borrowing money, to fix your car, right? I don't know whether this is a nice scenario. So imagine you, but I'm just trying to explain what she was trying to say. So imagine you borrow borrow money to fix your car, but, spending it all on, let's say, for example, on your monthly grocery instead of fixing your car, you're actually spending that on you spend that money on your grocery instead. So eventually the car breaks down. Eventually the car will break down because you're not fixing the car. So, and you are stuck with the debt, but not solutions. So you have the debt and the problem still persists. So, and that's where we seem to be heading. If we don't rethink our priorities, and that's the point she was trying to make. So, yeah, so that's very critical that we are borrowing, but we are not actually spending that money on critical, on capital project. So we're spending that money on monthly groceries rather than on repairing the car, on fixing the car. So as a scenario that I just gave. So we're not focusing on capital project, on the solution. We're stuck with the debt, and then we're stuck with the debt. So yeah. And I think as she alluded to that we have to rethink our priorities, which is something, I think that's one aspect as well that I found very, very interesting. She also mentioned that for the third year in a row, you know, operational expenses like government salaries and debt servicing take precedence over development, that our budget takes more precedence in making sure in terms of operational expenses like salaries and also servicing the debt rather than actually focusing on development, you know, and that's very serious, guys. And I think that's a very valid, valid point she was making, And these are valid expenses as well. They are valid expenses as well, of course. But we are putting too much weight on keeping the present afloat. You understand? So we're keeping, the present afloat while actually sacrificing, while we are sacrificing, the future. So I want you to think about that. And it's something that she actually reminding all of us. And I think fellow, parliamentarian, the fellow lawmakers, that they need to start a rethink their priorities. And I think, that's a very important aspect, she have mentioned. Yeah, a contribution. That's a very important contribution she have made in the debate. Think about that. It's really, really, I found those from her very, very important. And then there was this, Republican Party. The Republican Party MP, Matthias Mbundu. He brought up another crucial issue. Even is something that we're familiar with, unemployment, particularly it's unemployment, particularly talking about the skills mismatch in our job market. Sometimes you think that actually these people actually listen to Unpacking the Day. Yeah. So the skill mismatch in our job market. And despite that significant spending on education, or that budget of 24.8 billion, the largest actually location. So graduates, and even from previous, budget as well, they are, it's one of the ministry that receive, the largest allocation. His argument is that graduates are still struggling to find job. Why? Because our education system is not aligned with the market demand, what the market demands. So just imagine graduating after years of study and only to find that your skill don't match available opportunities. So, as we can, so it doesn't, as we can see the situation in our own community of the graduates that we have in our community. So, this is not just about that person, maybe that the loss of this person. You have to think in terms of the money the government that have spent in education, in educating this graduate. So, and if you are educating, you're spending so much money on educating these people, and then in the end, there's no return from your investment. That's the point. It's money wasted. Okay? It's a money wasted. So, and it's not just for the personal loss for the one who can't find a job, but it's become now a national crisis where we have a lot of people sitting at home without jobs. So I think that is something that we, as a nation that we also need to look at seriously. And I think it's good that these are issues that are being raised by the lawmakers, you know? Yeah, and it's good to know that maybe changes would come because these are people that are in the house of law. So he also didn't hold back when discussing Namibia's dependence on international institution like the IMF and the World Bank. So he described their influence as overbearing. So he described that the influence of this institution is actually overbearing. So what he means is that much of our economic decision making. So much of our economic decision making is shaped or at least heavily influenced by guidelines, recommendations, or even conditions set by entities like now the MIF, the IMF, and also the World Bank. That, so it's heavily influenced by those, either by those guidelines, by the recommendation from this institution, or condition even set by this institution or by these entities. Now, but here's the thing. Now, this institution don't always have now the same priority as we do, as the national priority. So their priority is not, don't always meet the same priority as national priority. And this is his point. And their focus is often on stabilizing economies in a way that align with global economic rating. So the question that the point that he was making, does that truly reflect daily reality faced by Namibian? You know, so he said those global economic rating, you know, they don't truly reflect the daily reality faced by Namibian. And think about it. So when a budget are cut, okay? So let's say this. When a budget are cut to meet the international debt servicing, for example. So when a budget is cut to meet the international debt servicing requirements, to satisfy a credit rating, okay? So as an example. Now, who feel the pinch? So when now the budget is cut for us to meet the international debt servicing requirement, or as I said, you know, maybe, satisfy the credit rating. So who feel the pinch? Who will be affected? So it's not those big institution. It's the ordinary Namibian. It is the teacher whose school doesn't have enough textbook. You know, the farmer struggling to access water, for example, or the young entrepreneur, or you as an entrepreneur who can't get a loan because local banks are cautious about their exposure to national debt. You know? So I found that bringing that point out was very necessary, and it was really one of a strong point, I think, from the debate of last week. So on a good note, he praised the government, and which I think is a very good thing as well. He praised the government introduction of cash voucher system for food relief, which I also think is a very good, it's a step towards empowerment and dignity for the beneficiaries. Yeah. But another powerful point he raised was one that is really hard to ignore. He referred to it as the elephant in the room. This is wealth distribution, you know? And the point he was making was that Namibia is rich in natural resources, diamond, uranium, fisheries, and now even the green hydrogen opportunities are making headlines. So, but here's the critical question. And this is the question that we always ask here on Unpacking the Day. How much of this wealth actually trickled down to benefit the average Namibian? Are we truly using these resources to uplift the most vulnerable? And are they primarily enriching a small elite? And this is basically the question he raised. So, and that raises another issue. That raises another important issue, an issue of transparency and accountability. So, do we know where the revenues from our natural resources are going? Are they being invested wisely, in areas like education, healthcare, infrastructure, or are they being siphoned off, you know, siphoned through corruption, inefficiencies, and maybe poor negotiation, negotiated deals. So do we know that transparency? And the good thing is that the new administration is really, really hard on transparency and accountability. It's one of the priority that they're focusing on. It's because for quite too long, you know, we haven't seen natural resource, being reinvested, the revenues from our natural resources being reinvested in infrastructure, for example, in education, in healthcare, you know. So yeah, I think that were from Mr. Mbundu, those were very, very, I think they were very powerful point that he made in the debate last week on the national budget. And then we have the, and let's turn now to the Popular Democratic Movement leader, McHenry Venani, who was not, I think he was also not short of word when addressing our education system. So despite a 24.8 billion allocation, more than, this is his own word, more than 60% of grade 10 learners remain, as he said, functionally illiterate. You know, functionally illiterate in mathematics and English. So Venani calls this a system, and it's a system using, they call this a system using 20th century tool, like tool of the 20th century, in a 21st century economy. So we're using tools of the 20th century in the economy of a 21st century. So, and frankly, he has a point. You know, much of people that come through of this, come out of this system are absolutely, you know, have no any skills at all. You know? No, serious. Anyone coming out of grade 12, out of the elementary school, you know, what skills do normally have? Kids coming out of grade 12, not gone to the university, just gone through this. What skills do they have? So it's exactly what he's saying. It's a system using 20th century tools in a 21st century economy. So that absolutely makes sense. So Venani also highlighted a disturbing disparity. Urban schools in cities like Windhoek and Swakopmund, you know, continue to outperform rural schools in regions like Zambezi, Kunene, and Kavango West. And why there is such an unequal distribution of educational quality? Shouldn't every Namibian child, regardless of where they live, have access to quality education? So those were his questions in terms of why there is that disparity in quality, in educational quality. Yeah, but perhaps the most alarming issue Venani raised was youth unemployment, also at 56%. It's one of the highest rate in Southern Africa, in Sub-Saharan Africa, not Southern Africa, in Sub-Saharan Africa. And what is the government response? So he looked at what is the, and he was questioned, what is the government response? A mere 1.3 billion allocated to youth, sport, and national services. So he think this was just a mere, you know, 1.3 billion, you know, allocated to youth, sport, and national service. So Venani argues that it wasn't just inadequate. It was not inadequate. It's an insult to a generation brimming with untapped, you know, potentials. Now, what is interesting and what I found interesting is what he actually, you know, how, what he suggests to address this. So to address this, he put forward concrete ideas. And one is the creation of Youth Enterprise Fund. I found that is very interesting. Imagine a national fund, especially designed to empower youth entrepreneurs. You know, this could provide a really startup capital they desperately need, and alongside mentorship and also training programs. So a youth enterprise fund, I think that was, I thought that was maybe, that was a very good idea. Another proposal is public-private internship programs. I think that's also within the plan of the SWAPO, implementation, the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan. But he go beyond, his proposal is a public-private, internship programs. So this would create bridges now between education and employment, ensuring young people gain the skills and experience, employers normally, seek, but involving the private sector. So now these, internship, could not only ease the burden on the government, but also ensure that the programs align with the real world industries needs. So I think that those were very, very, important, aspect, to consider and for you to also, discuss about. So now, in the end, so what are my takes? What are my takeaway from this parliamentary debate? And maybe there are others, other issues that were spoken, that were debated. Maybe I haven't picked up, maybe that you have picked up from some other people as well, from other parliamentary. So the debate really highlighted, you know, several critical issues that deserve reflection and action, not just a reflection, but actions as well. And the key takeaways, are this for me. So with only 12% of the national budget allocated to infrastructure development, there is a growing concern that this reflects a lack of focus on social services like roads, schools, hospitals and utilities. There's a lack of focus on those essential services. So the allocation raises question about whether we are prioritizing the right areas to foster now, to be able to foster a sustainable development and improving quality of life. I think that's my takeaway from that aspect. The other thing is that the defense, the dependence on international financial institution. So Namibia reliance on bodies like the MIF, and World Bank has been criticized for potentially undermining our financial autonomy. So the influence of this institution on a national decision making has been described as an overbearing, as Bunuwat has put it. There is a call for more self-reliance, for more self-reliance and locally driven economic strategies. Those were some of the words that were used, and a locally driven economic strategies. That's my take. And the aligning, the other aspect is the aligning of education spending with employment need. So the mismatch between the education spending and the job market has fueled youth unemployment. So that's what I pick up. So to address this, there's a need now to realign education policies to better equip young Namibian with skills that meet industry's demand, ensuring that their education leads to meaningful opportunity. That's another of my take. And the last one is the investing in youth entrepreneurship. So proposal like your youth enterprise youth enterprise fund by Venani public private internship programs. Those highlight the urgent need for targeted investment in the economic potential of the younger generation. So empowering young people with resources and opportunities is seen as a critical to unlocking the potential and driving Namibia's economic growth. So this debate really underlines the necessity of bold, forward-thinking policies that address this interconnected. I think those are interconnected challenges. Address them holistically, so not just patch by patch, but holistically. So they provide a roadmap for shaping a more equitable and prosperous future for all. I think for all Namibians. Yeah. So those are my take of the debate from last week. So what do you think? I just wanted to focus some of this. Nowadays I really sit and listen to some of this debate that are taking place in the parliament. And those actually are some of the MPs that have caught my attention, and the issues they have raised caught my attention. And I thought maybe it's something that we can have a discussion as well. Your opinion. So you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. What is your take on some of these issues that has been raised by some of our MPs in the parliament? So do come through. And other issues maybe that you may have picked up that you find very, very interesting, and as I said, forward thinking, looking at how do we do things now. Yeah, so come through. What's your time? I'll come through and share your opinion and your take of some of these issues that has been raised by some of these lawmakers. Our telephone number, 08-333-66-091.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Statistics show that more than 12,000 road accidents were recorded in Namibia last year. Therefore, I believe zero is the only acceptable number of accidents on our roads this Easter. It is not impossible. Be responsible, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Always pretend.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholics Imane Kakarunga, the Africans Sengfuar Tierra, and many more. Contact with us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-235-8063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Yes, download and discover Imba. Yeah, I can attest to that. I, you know, like over the weekend, when it was Easter holiday, I happened to go, to some services, church services, and you know what? I had my Imba and I didn't need it to have, you know, to carry anything else, you know? So if you have your Imba, definitely, it make a difference. It make a difference. So, and I went to different churches. You know, I'm not someone who is actually, you know, on one. I go to wherever I feel okay. I follow friends, you know, this friend, okay, then go to this church, I go. So, yeah, and I was be able to, you know, to fit into every church because I have my Imba. So do that, download the app. It comes in handy, definitely. I can attest to that. Yeah, welcome. Our time is about 23 minutes past the hour of 8, and you're tuned into Unpacking the Day. So today we're looking at some debate. We're looking at the there has been contribution from number of MPs to the 2025-2026 and national budget. We have many in the House MPs contributing to the budget. And today I looked three of the MPs that I felt that they highlight some of the very important issues maybe that we need to look at seriously. And we went a little bit deeper into that. We dissect that. We looked at what they say and how that affect the cost of living of people, or maybe the life of the ordinary Namibians and Namibian economy in general. So looking at the budget allocation and infrastructure, this of 12% of national budget allocated to infrastructure development, when you look at the essential, it seems that it doesn't reflect, according to Feni Nanyene, she feel that it doesn't reflect, it doesn't really focus on essential, it doesn't reflect the need where we are at this point in time. There's a lot that need to be done in terms of service like road, essential service like road, schools and hospitals and utilities, electricity and water. So she feels that that 12% of developing budget is quite very small. And it has been like that for the last 3 years. The focus has been more on actually servicing the debt and also operational cost, rather than actually, on a development budget, increasing at least the developing budget to address those crucial and essential services that we need. So, and also the Mbundu, Republican Party talks about the dependence on international financial institution, that criticize that they undermining, they potentially undermining our financial autonomy, because then we have to follow the condition recommendation, that these institutions, put up. And sometimes that actually then undermine our financial autonomy. So he thinks that this institution influence our national decision making and he feels that they are overbearing. Yeah, so all right, so yeah, and so, and he, one thing that he really thinks that we need to have to be more self-reliant and locally, and have that local driven economic strategies, rather than becoming more reliant on these institutions in our decision, in our economic decision making.
Igrahim, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine. Mandume, how are you?
I'm okay, Dr. Mike.
Yeah. So how's been too cold? Is it getting cold now?
This year, I think we're going to even have a snow thing.
Really?
Yeah, the way it look like.
Yeah. It would be nice to experience that snow. You know, many people haven't seen snow. If you haven't traveled any outside of Namibia, maybe to Europe, you might have never seen snow before. Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, so that would be good.
Yeah, it would be a good experience.
Yeah.
Mike.
Hmm.
Speaking to the what, MP for talking about the what, the influence of the outside.
Yeah.
It's true indeed. Because me, I don't know why our government, they don't borrow money in Dana.
Yeah.
When I mean in Dana, it's like we have been fishing with you. You see, they're having money spare. And their money, because it's about, when you're having money, it's about investment.
Mm.
Not you having money on the bank, which is not doing anything.
Yeah.
Money, you need to work for you.
Exactly, yeah.
To bring another product. And this is what our Namibian government, they've been doing. They're having money, and their money, most of them, they are our institutions, they're investing outside instead of investing inside.
Yeah.
And what you want to tell the nation, that you want to grow the economy, you want to have a productive people, but how to do that if you don't invest in them?
Yeah. Mm.
And this is what is happening. Look here, we have institutions like a DIPF. We have social security. We have so many. Even NAMPOWER, NAMWATER, they're supposed to have a revenue to return, and they can invest in nationality when it comes to the well-being of the people.
Mm.
Because what they are doing is like, even the services they are providing, it can become too expensive. People are not even able to afford anymore.
Yeah.
It's more like a prophet driven, but it's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
I'm looking at our government, the way they go to MFM, you talk about African Bank, you talk about the Chinese. At the end of the day, if a person is giving you money, remember the story which was on the news. I think if it's not the last year, then it's a year before.
Mm.
That American one. They said, no, for Namibia, because we give you money, you have to reduce your expenditure when it comes to, you cannot employ.
Yeah.
Just imagine.
Yeah.
And now,
I think this is exactly what he means. This guy Bundu, what he's saying is that he said that those institutions are overbearing. What he means is that much of our economic decision then making is shaped, or at least is heavily influenced by, you know, as you're saying, by their guidelines, recommendation, even sometimes conditions set by these entities, you know.
Yeah.
And normally they though their priorities is not actually the same priorities as ours.
Exactly.
You know, and that it doesn't reflect the daily realities that faced by Namibians. So
I'm telling you, Mike.
Yeah.
Because today, let me say, if I get the money to come, I come to you to borrow me money. You lend me money.
Mm.
And you are telling me, instead I come there because I'm having maybe hunger. But you are telling me, no, for you, maybe you can just buy what? A cattle kg.
Yeah.
And put enough electricity like for 1,000. Instead of me, to look where, which priority first for me to address him. Because electricity cannot really, I can understand it's basically needed. But certain things, if I would, as long as I have a meal in the house, I can really buy like a 50 kg instead of putting 1,000 for electricity and I buy 2 kg.
Yeah.
And it's what the other bank are doing and the Chinese. Chinese, they lend you money.
Yeah.
And they'll give you a condition that, you know, this for you, you have to award it to the Chinese construct company.
Yeah.
And the material, you have to source from the China. And the labor also, they have to come from China. Is that normal?
Mm.
And end of the day, you are waiting for me to pay, to repay that money. But everything is with you done, I mean, it's like you benefit, it benefits you.
It does, yeah.
Exactly. You, even though I know that you're leaving me with infrastructure, but at the end of the day, the money comes back to you.
Mm.
And it's what it's been doing, the government has been doing with the Chinese. And I don't know really who signed up this agreement with we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
Doing these things. Because now you can tell me, okay, I get a, let me say now, if you are relying on yourself, you get a tender, from maybe to construct a stadium, like the way you are going about now.
Yeah.
Then JPF will lend you money. Then, you are going to source the what, even the trucks, for maybe concrete trucks, from Upa Indongo.
Yeah.
You are going to source the material, maybe to, let me say, anybody in the construction with a construction company, Sibute, Samende to Olongo.
Yeah.
Do you think that money is not going to circulate in Namibia? Even the labor from Namibia? That money will build somewhere, somebody will benefit. At the end of the day, somebody who's even engineer in that company is going to what? To send his nephew who was struggling to wait to have money for registration fees.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't, much of us, we don't care about it. But once you give a Namibian opportunity, even though we are complaining, so no, Namibians are given a chance. And the end of the day, before even start to construct, even just to put one bridge, it's already having a under cross. Who's going to do that? The business is going to do that because it's me, you give me a tender, you, as a Mike, you give it to Mandume, and we know each other. And I know, Mike, I will not do anything since I give you what,
30%. Yeah.
In that project. And Mike is the one who custodian, is a minister. Or is a deputy minister. Or we know somebody who knows somebody.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I do what I want. Because I know Mike is not going to rely, I mean, he's not going to take me for accountability. And it's what's been, I'm telling you, you cannot, Mike, we see people who have been what, blacklist to take, to have another project. But you see, these guys are learning. Let me give an example, because we cannot even go around the bush. There's a construction company with Velvicia.
Yeah.
I think you are familiar with it. He was constructing the road at this road of Havana, inside there. They eat up the money. Those guys, they get away with it. Later on, they get a contract in somewhere on FIA for clinic. And just imagine, it's a same country, same board member who are awaiting the tender, some procurement, but you can see that the corruption is getting away with it.
Yeah,
left and right.
That has been the case, definitely. Yeah, so people who have actually haven't, the funny thing is that there are a lot of institutions or companies that haven't finished the project that they were doing, But there's no any, first of all, there are no report in terms of what happened, you know, that accountability, you know, transparency and accountability, which I'm glad that this administration is focusing on that. But it's what the taste is in the eating. So we have to see how they will implement that.
But so, Mike, you remember the other time we speaking, it's hard for you to get the, to get rid of the cockroach, because the cockroach is become also, even the dome is not working anymore. The cockroach, you spray it here, and then you lay down, you see them, they are crawling again.
Yeah. I think one thing that we don't realize is that it's, we have created a system that perform and behave in that way. You understand?
So,
and unless you really have to overhaul the system, you know, you could be well intending as we like the President Netumbo, probably really want to make a difference in life, in the life of the Namibian. But the system that is there, you know, that we have actually built, the machineries in terms of personnel and structures and processes that we have, is that in nature that it provide what it provide at this point in time, unless you have to change that.
Exactly. Mm. And that is the point I make with, I'm saying, for you to deal with this corruption and so on and whatever, you have to root out the what?
The cockroaches.
The roots. Yeah, the poison with the there. Otherwise, my friend, you can have a good intention for Namibian, but I'm telling you, it will be hard for you, for individual. We have a support, we are supporting here, but she need to make a right decision, and the right decision right at the moment, and she need to do it right now.
Mm.
Otherwise, everything is just, it will be like a lip service.
What is promising is to see, the, we have lawmakers that are forward thinking, as I would call it, forward thinking. And maybe we can see now progress, forward thinking policies, that will come in place, to change some of these things. From all the spectrum of when you listen, I really enjoy now the debate in the National Assembly.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, the parliament is ready for, I'm telling you, we used to go for so much of us, like me myself.
Yeah.
I don't used to watch Namibian parliament. I used to go to South Africa because there's a drama zone. But now, right now, my friend.
Exactly. And
Namibia,
and there are quality discussions, quality contribution that of these young and new parliamentarians actually are showing. So, which is actually a very good thing, you know. So it's hopeful that if we have people that we just that hope that in 8 months time from now, we won't have them sleeping and the energy is, it's out and we go to what we know best, you know. So, so that could be also, that could happen as well. So, but at the moment, we appreciate, the way it goes.
Well, it's true. Because those young ones, they bring fire in the house. Yeah. You can see that, you know, everybody is focused. And seriously, we need a policy every time, wherever something, you know, is benefiting the nation. Let us put a policy. Yeah. And the policy will not taking us like the way we are going around with a red line. Consultants need to be done, what, or so on. No, we need to start implementing a policy like now we have a Notre Dame which is lying there. And now we are going for feasibility study. What feasibility study are we talking about? Feasibility study is supposed to be done before even the construction of the dam taking place. And now we are there as in, come on, somebody just will need to wake up and say, no, I'm directing you to do this. Put up there, take youth, take whatever machinery, start cultivating. Use that water. But seriously, I'm telling you, nobody is taking a leader. That's why we are demanding the what? Burkina Faso leader, because you can see, the man doesn't talk much. When you can see even the results, it's already there. That's why a lot of us, we are like, we are demanding. what Traoré is doing for Burkina Faso.
Yeah, there are basic things, and I can give an example. For example, Nanyeni, what Nanyeni actually was saying, she was talking about how we borrow the money, and she was stressing that we should borrow to focus on capital project, because what happened is that for now, when we borrow money, we use that money actually to, first of all, to pay salaries and also servicing the debt, which means we will never, and then as you were saying, you know, the 12% on development, we will never actually grow in what we want. And we're sacrificing actually the future by keeping the present afloat, by just, you know, making sure that we are right at the moment.
Yeah, we are right.
But we are not fixing the problem.
Exactly. And we're not looking for the future. If you are looking for the future, my friend, how can you just even build a Notre Dame there and up to now you don't have any solution?
Yeah.
You build a oil storage, and now, up to now, you don't even have a mechanism that, you know, Angola, I have a storage here.
Yeah.
Let us look for a refinery.
Mm.
I'll put up a refinery also, because since I'm also, the people are digging and they discover oil in Namibia. Let us partnership with the countries, other countries.
Yeah.
Since we already having a good coastal area. Look, the lack of like Botswana and Zambia and so on. You name it, Zimbabwe. What's so difficult for us to negotiate with them if they are using our dry port?
Yeah.
My friend, up to now, like when I'm looking at Namibia, we support even to the first train already, my friend. Like Mike, you come from Ondangwa today to come and walk to Window.
Yeah.
It will take you like 1.5 minutes to arrive in Window.
Yeah.
We support to have that train because we have a good relationship with China. China, they might not just bring a super group to us. We are looking for the future. Let us look for the future of this nation. Sometimes let us sacrifice ourselves. And we live for the future to live in the harmony of this country. But if you are here, you are calling an investor, but the person is coming with a super guru, a container of super guru. Is that how to call the investor? or cell phone cover? No, guys.
Yeah.
We have to be serious.
Yeah.
Okay, let me end up there, Mike.
All right,
give other people a chance.
Yeah, so thank you for coming through and for your contribution. All right,
my brother.
Yeah, very good morning to you. Our time is about 44 minutes past the hour of 8. This is Unpacking the Day, and we normally go up to 9:30. So we still have a couple of time for you to come through and have your contribution on what we have covered so far, or we discussed so far. So our telephone number, our studio number here in Ondangwa is 08333-66091. 08333-66091.
Hey, good FM. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Yeah, Dr. Mike.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm good. I'm just laughing about the investor. Okay, super guru.
Yeah.
No, but that's the reality. Eh?
No, it's true. I mean,
let's be honest with each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you see, I don't understand the word former and informal. And this is the word that troubled me so much for so many years and so much up to now, still troubling me.
Yeah.
How do we normalize abnormalities? Is it? The word former and informal, it's abnormal. It's to degrade the other person and elevating the other.
Yeah.
Is it?
How? Mike, what do you mean? Just
Mike,
yeah.
If you take $10 and you buy from Woolman Brook, the same $10 or another $10 you go buy at the Ogriangava market. What have you done? Is it a business transaction you have done?
Yeah.
So which business is better than the other?
I don't think there is any. A coke is coke. I can buy a coke in Wurman. It's the same coke in a Shebeen somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how do you say this one is former and this one is informal?
No, it's the setting. It's not normally what you're buying, but in a setting you are buying.
Business is business.
Yeah.
Business transaction is the same like a sin. If there is one, I don't believe in those things. If there is a sin, there is no big sin and a small sin. But a sin in the village is better than the sin in the city. You get my point?
Yeah.
You can't tell me that the life in the rural area is more valuable than the life in the city. Or the life in the city is more valuable than life in the rural area.
Yeah, that's a perspective approach.
And this is what we don't understand. Now we come to the point of we normalize the abnormality.
Mm.
Yes, where we say, for you to do business with Angola, you should be it should be certified by somebody who pretends or who thinks he understands business than you.
Wouldn't be that where we need some guidelines and rules. Otherwise, anybody can just come with their own way of doing things.
Yeah,
at least we need a standard.
No, I fully agree. Standard must be there. But whose standard is it we are using?
Yeah.
Maybe we should design our own standard.
Yeah.
Me and you to communicate at the mic. The channel of communication will be, I use the cell phone, you are on the radio with your mic.
Actually, you're right. What I wanted to add is this. Think about, I want you to, because it just come to my mind when we talk about this. Think about over the weekend, you know,
yes.
Between Friday and Monday, you know.
Yes.
Our shops, our local people's shops are closed. Okay?
Yes.
And the Pick and Pay, the Choppies, the Wurman block of this world, these are open. You know.
Yes.
Now, what standards are being used that, you know, and imagine the people are traveling, they come into the, you know, this is where now they spend millions and millions in these shops instead.
Yes.
on local entities. We actually spend it on foreign entities.
Yes.
You know, we're making actually foreign richer and take the money out of the country rather than to our local. Who come up with the idea that our shops must be closed on those days where we need to buy, when we are buying and we're giving actually money away to, you know, to foreign entities.
Exactly.
I'm just actually kind of looking at what you're saying now to say how, we need to come up with standard with rules that are actually benefiting us rather than actually disadvantaging us.
You know, that's why some people, most of the people, they always say, and the people they think they have been undermined or people don't appreciate, when other people say the people negotiated whatever they have negotiated, whatever they negotiate most of the time,
yeah.
They do it in the interest of the other person. You see, you are two people who are coming to negotiate. You're negotiating for your kids. I'm negotiating for my kids.
Yeah.
But when I'm coming to negotiate for my kids, instead of negotiating for my kids, I start negotiating only for your kids also.
Mm.
So who is the beneficiary? Your kids become more beneficiary than my kids.
Yeah.
My kids have got more restrictions than your kids. Is it?
Mm.
Today they are saying, which I really appreciate, if America tells you, an African to come to America, you need to have a visa. Passport must be 6 months valid. Americans must be treated the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
Inasmuch as they value their money, because also the question I have asked myself is, paper money is paper money. Eh?
Yeah.
It depends whichever. Now, if you look at the $10 Namibian and the $10, you say this one is more value than this one. Okay, we understand maybe American dollar is attached to commodity, which is called petrol maybe for now.
Yeah.
So why can't we attach our value of our money to a certain commodity, even uranium? Because if Americans can, only one man is allowed to be attached to commodities, and the rest of us, we should just trade in a thin air.
Yeah.
Why? Who should start set the standard that money must be traded like this? You see, because you give one person power, now they even come to a point of saying, we put this tariffs, we do that. And they, look, they're taking your stuff and they're treating you as if they're giving you, they are doing you a favor.
Mm.
Yes. The Europeans, they treat us, you know, as if they do us a favor, but they get our stuff for free.
But it's also how we are, how we approach them.
How we approach them. No, the rules that are set are not for us.
Exactly, yeah.
That's why the current government, I really appreciate, if they also go and revisit the way they are revisiting everything. Look at it. How many people knew that South Africa owns 10% in Rossing? I didn't know.
Yeah. Mm.
For the past 35 years, I didn't know. Only listened to when the current president started visiting them. Then they started opening up. So now you tell me, which investor is going to run away when you come up with your policies? Because now the same investors you are calling investors, let's look at it that way, the way they have been, they formalize it, they have normalized it. The same investor now is telling the president, we are planning to change this. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What have prompted that investor to start changing, saying those words? Simply means the people who were there, they made that thing to look in their own, to give it to the other people. The other countries, so that they should benefit more than the, because you see, there is a concept to which we normally, I think I should be better than you, you know, and this is what they have used, what Kwame Nkrumah said before. They will tell you that you are better than this one.
Yeah.
And this is the concept they have been using ever since, you are better than this one, so you shouldn't be driving the same car like that one. You shouldn't walk in the same place like this one. You shouldn't use the same hospital like this. That's why we have formalized the concept of private hospitals.
Yeah.
There was no private school during colonial time. How was the government making money? Let's interrogate this issue with the white people, if they are honest.
Yeah.
With America. Let's interrogate it with America. What was happening during colonial time? Who owns the mines? Who owns the means of production by then? If it was not the same government, which we are praising today, the colonial master was better than this one. This is a government of ours. Who told you that?
Eh? Yeah.
South Africa is a country, is a sovereign state, owning shares in a sovereign state. 10% more than the owner. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I think even where they are today, after that thing was reviewed, they are shaking. Because then they realize that brotherhood does not work. Brotherhood is not working in South Africa. South Africa is here to exploit other African states. That's why you see that in other countries they don't like them.
It's the bigger brother?
Pardon?
I said it's the bigger brother?
No. we call it sisters. Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken. Have you ever heard about the South African big brother? When they say, our sister. Sister countries.
Yeah.
It is frontline state. You see? Why should South Africa stop us from buying oil from Angola? Who is our neighbor? Where we run when we... South Africa was busy killing people. And people must read this thing of saying, let's find out what happened, because what I heard was, if you go back into history, what I think I listened to this conversation at one point or the other, that after colonial time, apartheid owed the government, the IMF and the World Bank, because they were given money to kill Africans. But who paid that debt? Apparently the same government which took over, South Africa paid. So I don't know where is Namibia there. They took the money to pay the debt of apartheid. What an insult.
To pay the debt of what? Of apartheid?
Apartheid. Go find out.
Yeah.
This was a lecture that was given by Dr. You know, This thing where Jackson Kaweo was singing the wind of change, sweeping across the African continent, the time of that time, yeah. When the Kissinger and Macmillan and all those people, you know,
yeah.
When they brought and they introduced VAT and they introduced the, what is it called, home loan, whatever, home housing, whatever, bond.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Today they introduced Medicare aid. To be honest with you, you pay your Medicare aid through the nose. That day, you go get the medicine there. You still pay.
Yeah.
You ask yourself, what am I paying? Who am I paying this money to? You know? And that's why for me, that the universal healthcare is the best. And the only way they can do it better is all of us to be put on government Medicare aid, whatever that's which is a little bit cheaper. All of us, we should start diverting that money to that Medicare aid. And that Medicare aid must facilitate, because the current government it's giving us hope that I think they are willing, they are busy, they are eager to tackle corruption. So simply, if corruption we root it out,
yeah.
And we put it in the, we take it out, which means we can manage to build our hospitals and everything. You can see this. New ministers and cabinet, they are really working, including the parliament.
Mm.
I'm not overruling parliament. Parliament is also working, because you can see that the debate that is there is more constructive.
Yeah.
Yes. It's more constructive. Every person there is talking about they are going to save the Namibian people.
Yeah.
Which is the best. Why should we have a system that, because me, I'm better than you, I'm working, I've got a job, so I should be better than my brother from the same mother. Oh, one of my family members who is not working, I should be better than those people. Why should I be better than the other person? We were taught to share.
Mm.
You see? We were not taught to share, to say that you are better than this one. We were taught, if your brother don't have, you share. So that you are always equal. Such that one day when the lion comes, you fight together.
Yeah.
Yes. You see? And this is why what Parliament is doing. And that's why we should write out, move these things of saying private. Insurances. Let's have one common insurance where all of us pay into the government.
Mm.
Yes. Like other countries. I think Botswana, they have that one.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. And I think Zambia, they have got that one. You know?
All right.
Where you pay with the Minister of, Minister of Finance. So, at least, the way the current government is working in parliament, yeah. we appreciate.
Mm.
They should keep up. They should continue. Those shadow ministers, they should also be there.
Yeah.
As shadow, they shouldn't be shadow. I think we should have another name for them. Overseeing.
They gave that name to themselves. So,
yes.
They gave
but,
that
but
name
they,
to themselves.
But we don't want to be them with shadow, because if they fail, they will say, no, we were in shadow. I think we should look for another name.
Yeah.
I just said
I'm in the shadow, just waiting for you to mess up, you know, and I take over, you know.
No, but I don't want the person to mess up.
Mm.
Because if we wait for another person to mess up, then it's sometimes difficult to fix.
Yeah, no, that's
when
true.
You are working together, they must work together.
Yeah.
Yes, to fix everything.
Yeah,
you get me?
Yeah, that's what
like,
we want
like
to see.
Like the Prime Minister said, it's not because it's done by SWAPO, so then we should be angry.
Yeah.
It's done by DTA, we should be happy. Or it's done by SWAPO, all of us, we should be happy. If it's done by somebody, or the idea comes from whoever, whichever opposition, whoever, if the idea is for the benefit of the country, the same way the Prime Minister was saying, let us support it.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
we do.
Yeah.
When we die,
one thing that we see is that even from SWAPO MPs, you can see really critical thinking when it comes
yes.
to budget or issues. It's not just a matter of a rubber stamp what the other one is saying. You can see good debate.
This one's all nobody. The yeah. other ones, maybe they owe their colonial masters.
Yeah.
Because definitely we're all colonized. But mainly they were in full contact with those people.
Mm.
But these ones, they were not in contact with the colonial master. So whoever colonized Africa, they were not so contact. So these guys, they have the right to say, to save, because we went to Europe. That's how even independence came about. You know, slavery was there, then abolishment of slavery, then people were in World War started, then people were sent to Europe to fight for Europeans. When they came back, they said, oh, these guys are also even weak in their countries, man, they are useless. Then we can fight against them here. Then they started forming liberation movement. That's how it came about. So they also did the same thing to us. They sent us to school. They gave us access to their countries. We realized, no, man, these guys are just business stealing from us. So now it starts now to start tightening up our nuts to make sure this everything benefits Africa.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely. All right.
Thanks a lot.
No, thank you for coming through.
Appreciate for the cabinet and the parliament, especially, I think most of the presidents, let's give it to the current president. I think he should have inspired, because if the president was not inspiring, the people wouldn't have the people like even cabinet, even parliament, even the opposition wouldn't have been inspired.
Yeah.
But this president of ours, she's inspiring everybody. She's giving hope in every person, even those who could not speak, now they can speak.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I like about her. Right. They're not just speaking the rubbish, they are speaking logic. Mm. They are speaking, you know, something that is tangible.
Exactly. Yeah.
We really appreciate from her leadership.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. No, thank you for coming through.
Bye.
All right.
Yeah. That's good to see. And you're most welcome to, you're also most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. We were today, this morning, we are looking at the contribution that some MPs that made in the parliament, especially contributing to the budget 2025-2026 and national budget. We looked at some of the MPs that stood out for me. I think stood out for me on specific aspect that requires a critical looking at further discussion, not only probably in the parliament, but within our communities as well, within our sectors, within our in our groupings or society, wherever we find ourselves. So there are some certain aspects that we need to speak, converse, dialogue about them on and on. So it shouldn't be just, as we said, as actually previous caller mentioned, it shouldn't be just the responsibility of they do their job, but we also have to do our job as well. Sometimes let blow up some of these issues because they are very important to our nation, to the growth, to our economic growth, and also to the living standard of our very own people. So, yeah. So come through and have your say and have your take on what we have discussed so far. Our telephone number again, 08333-66091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, Rio Sherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace,
I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right, very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, our time now is it's about 70 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have a couple of minutes before we come to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day. Yeah, yesterday, yeah, you still can come through on our first item that we, on our first discussion. So come through and you can share your opinion and your thoughts on that. So, yeah, we can go to another aspect. Yesterday we didn't get a time actually to do that. There was something on Namibia. I think it was an article last week, that I wanted us to talk about. It actually has to do with, electricity, tariff, in Namibia, and how far your $100 stretches on a prepaid electricity. So how far actually your $100 can stretch on a prepaid electricity? That would actually depend on where you are. So that would depend on actually where you are. So if, for example, Windhoek Municipality currently offers the most prepaid electricity units for more. They are the one who offer most prepaid electricity unit for every 100 Namibian dollar spent, providing around 40 units. And on the other hand, the consumers in areas like Erongo, for example, serviced by Erongo Red, receive only 35 units for the same amount. So if you're in Windhoek, it's about 40%. You got actually 40 units. And if you are in Erongo, for example, you get about 35 units for the same amount of dollars, $100 spent. So, and why there is such a stock differences? Why there is such a difference? Maybe you don't know. The reason lie in a very, very, very complex, if you want, a complex web of few things. In infrastructure cost, so that also added to your cost as well that comes to you. Local authority surcharges. That also added to your cost, depending where you are, and operational efficiency. You know, if your distributor is efficient or inefficient, your electricity provider, if it's efficient or inefficient, would also that contribute to the cost of your electricity. For example, in Windhoek, Windhoek tariff is the lowest at 2 Namibian dollar point 47 cent and per hour. So why Erongo Red tariff is much higher at 2.82 Namibian dollar 84 cents per kilowatt. So, but let's see, what do you, now, but let's dig deeper. The cost differences are, what is actually shaped the cost differences? So, now, the reason why I'm doing this for you, it's, it has economic implication. Think about this. If I were a business person and I want to invest in one of the town, this is one thing I'm looking at. This is also one thing that you can look at. If I invest in Windhoek, for example, and the power energy, it's much cheaper compared if I invest in Erongo, I mean, in Swakopmund or Walvis Bay. So definitely I would make a choice. I would actually choose to invest in Windhoek rather than in Swakopmund or anywhere else, you know, where the electricity is cheaper or expensive. Depending on that would determine in invest as well where they want to invest. So that's very important. So now let's from that bulletin or something. Let's look what cost differences, what actually shaped the cost differences. One of that is actually infrastructure cost. Okay. So yes, Web, the infrastructure cost, the building and maintaining electricity network, you know, is apparently is not cheap. Eh? Building and maintaining electricity network is not that cheap. So the expenses can vary now. It can vary now dramatically by region. So urban area like Windhoek, may have older, you know, older but well maintained networks. So while areas like maybe Erongo Red might be dealing with higher costs of upgrading infrastructures. When you're now upgrading infrastructures, that increases the cost of maintenance and building. So that would then also goes to your cost as well as a consumer. So that's one thing. Infrastructure cost, that also one of the costs that shape the difference between towns. So whether you are in Windhoek or Shakati or Rundu, so that infrastructure cost also contributes to that. The other area, the other thing is now the local authorities, surcharges. So these are additional fees now imposed by municipalities. Each municipality is now, they have these surcharges that are imposed by them. So Windhoek municipalities charges are 0.12 kilo per hour. I mean, kilowatt, 12 kilowatt. It's 12 cent per kilowatt. All right. So that's Windhoek, which is relatively higher than Norred surcharges it's only 6 cent per kilowatt, you know. So Windhoek is about 12 Norred one is about 6 cent per kilowatt. So now you can see that despite this, Windhoek still offers a cheaper electricity. Why? Likely because of the better operation efficiency. So the better operation efficiency that actually make the Windhoek electricity cheaper compared to, for example, Norred. So the other thing is also the energy losses. So during transmission and distribution, electricity can be lost. So the efficient provider lose less energy, and that reduce the cost that passed on to the customers. So that also contribute, that also shape the differences that you have in tariff, that you have in tariff between different towns. So, yeah. So because electricity can be lost, and then the efficient providers, those are efficient, they lose less energy, and then reducing the cost also, that also reduce the cost that is actually passed on to the consumers. And then the other thing is then the regulatory influence, you know, your electricity control board, which actually set the guidelines to keep the electricity accessible. So the balance between affordability and financial sustainability of providers is definitely is delicate and leading to and that's what leads to various to the variation actually in tariff. Now, here is the, you know, here's another problem. You know, NamPower, Namibia Bulk Electricity Supplier, so has submitted a request for, I think was it sometimes 3 months ago or something like that. I can't remember exactly. Of 17% tariff increase. A month ago or two, of 17% tariff increase. So then if it's approved, this increase will trickle down to regional distributors. It also gonna trickle down to regional distributors and ultimately to you, to me, the consumers. So that's also something that you have to, we have to be aware of. And that's, then this could mean, more fewer unit for every $100 spent. So, if that increase is approved, and that's gonna, you know, really stretch further our household budget, which is already under pressure from rising living costs that we experience. So, yeah, that's something that you should understand and be able to be aware of. So now, what should we do as consumers? I think sometimes there are a few practical things that one can do. One is that knowledge is power. Understanding this now for you, the reason why we bring this to you is also for you to understand, as they said, knowledge is power. Understanding how tariff works and why they vary can also help us make informed decision about energy, the energy use. So it's very, very, very important. First, that's the first thing. So why there's a difference in tariff between towns. So that's a good thing. That's one thing for you. That's one thing you need to know as well. Knowledge is power. Secondly, the others are just a practical practice, I think, if you like, adopting energy efficient practice. You know, like they say use the LED bulbs, switching off appliances, you know, when not in use, and insulate homes, and that can reduce also consumption and soften the blow of rising costs. So some of this would help.
Igor FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good, good. I just wanted to say to you, you guys have been off here at the coast for some time now. It just doesn't work on the radio.
Yeah.
And the app also, you know, when there's network problems, it cuts in and out. So we haven't been able to follow.
Oh.
Yeah. So when there's network problems, the app also doesn't work well.
So what you need to do with the app, for example, just update. Delete that one, and then if you have the old, if it has been for a while, delete it, and then just download the new one. Because there are phones that sometimes automatically, they don't have that automatic update. you know, and then what you do, just delete the app out and then download it. Yeah.
No, mine updated already the thing, but I don't know.
But it's still not working.
Yeah, so it tells me about network error and so on.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know that, you know, there's a bit of silence here for you guys. Your voice is silent.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't know if I'm the only one, but as far as I can tell, whether it's the car radio, whatever, nothing.
Yeah. All right. So,
yeah.
Okay. No, thanks for that. Yeah. But the, at least, you know, for many people should please, download the app in case when they cannot be able to hear us. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as I said, just try again. Delete that one and just download a new the new one and see if that actually make a difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. No, thanks, yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. So whoever, please do just download the app and that will actually, you know, that would be really make a difference when you have the app, sometime when you can't hear us, through the radio. So, all right. All what you need to do. And if you have the old, if it has been there for a while, you just delete that one and then, re-download, a new one, because sometimes some phone may not actually have that, update. Come the update, the automation that would come to say update the app. So then you just delete it and then reload it and then you see whether that make a difference. All right. Yeah. Our time is 23 minutes past 9 and we are looking at different tariffs, a different, tariff between towns and why that's the case. So, and if you have been following, so we're just being highlighting that, just being, talking about that now. So, yeah. And so the other question is really how does these, disparities, as I said, I think the reasons why I think that's very important is also to understand, the implication, as I said earlier on, the broader implication, the broader socioeconomic implication on individual and also on business. You know, families in region with higher tariff, for example, might spend a disproportionate, amount of their income on electricity compared to someone in winter, for example, living less for, you know, that has impact. It does leave you with less for other essential, other things that are also essential, like maybe food and maybe you pay for education and you have someone in a private school. So, and education. So it has a financial implications. It has a socio-economic implications as well. So, and also the other thing, as I said, the affordable electricity in Windhoek could attract businesses, you know, driving development in the capital, but potentially then, you know, people, why would, maybe we're thinking, okay, it's actually cheaper electricity-wise to do business in Windhoek, rather than actually in some other region, in the region. So what does it do then? It potentially also then widening the regional inequalities. So the reasons why some business won't come to the region is because it's much actually doing business in Windhoek rather than in some regions. And that continues to perpetuate the whole question of inequalities, even when it comes to business investment. So, yeah, those are some of the impact of that. So as we wait the ECB, the ECB's decision on NAMPOA's proposal, proposed tariff hike, of 17%, one thing is clear. One thing is very, very clear. Transparency and efficiency is in our electricity sectors are more crucial than ever. Really, we need to be transparent. We need to be efficient. And what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts? How are you? First of all, how are you managing electricity costs in your household, in your own household? How are you managing? So you're most welcome. We still have about 4 minutes before we come to the end of our show. You may come through and have your say, have your comment on that.
Hey, good FM. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Sorry, Michael.
Yes.
Just 1 minute.
Yeah.
You know, Michael, no? When it comes to electricity, I think also the middleman is playing important role.
Yeah.
For this increasing of what?
Yeah, yeah, you mean now the distributors?
Yeah, distributors, yeah.
Yeah.
Because why you can see that it's the distributor and again local authority also charge.
Mm.
No, the thing is that that's why the people are not able to afford, because things are just getting high every day. And the consumer, look, high unemployment is also playing important role. And you can see Shenzhen, how much they are getting.
Mm.
And this person is paying electricity, buying food. At the end of the day, if you're having a vehicle again, you are paying petrol. And if you look, even this is a tariff of when we see the VIT of the government, the distributor itself, and the municipality. It's so high.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, they're supposed to reduce. Thinking of to increase, I mean, from the board, what is the decision to increase the electricity? Really, this is going to harm a lot of Namibian people.
Yeah.
Because I'm already looking at what the situation which we find ourselves in. Remember that most people, some of them, they're even having what today, I mean this year, they are not going to receive any crops when it comes to food, because their flood is also affecting them, some of them, crop production.
Yeah. Mm.
And now we are looking at the worst situation where we want to increase in the way that we find our situation in somehow different. And now the government again have to look for money somewhere to feed those people.
Yeah, I mean, even if you talk about development, you can't talk development with a higher cost of energy. You know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's really going to harm a lot of projects.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, I think it's not the right time to do that.
All right.
Because sometimes they increase just in sake of increasing because of their salary and so on. But really, NAMPOA, they've been demand for long, and we don't see any project they come up with, like when it comes to capital budget. And the reason we heard that they receive the money.
Mm.
So what they want to get money for them to for a while, until maybe they will recover.
Mm.
Okay, let them just end up there, but I don't think it's a right decision, really.
Yeah, yeah.
To increase the electricity now.
Definitely not. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No, thank you.
Right,
thank you.
Okay. Mm. Sure.
All right, our time is 30 minutes past the hour of 9, and that actually brings us to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. So what you can expect today in today's edition of The Villager, some of the headlines that are very interesting for you to, you know, to make sure that you subscribe and to get your digital copy, your free copy every Monday, Wednesday and Thursday, I mean, and Friday. Windhoek's water crisis persists despite dams filling. So that is a story that you must, if you subscribe, that you can be able to look at. The government target, another story interesting for, very interesting to read, is the government target, the government target full operation of green schemes in 5 years. That's actually coming from, I think where did my thing disappeared? Oh man. Yeah. The Deputy Minister of the Agriculture, Water and Land Reform, Ruth Masake, say the ministry will prioritize the full operationalization of green scheme for the next 5 years. Then you can read the whole story for yourself, but you get to subscribe to be able to do that. All what you need to do, send a WhatsApp message to with your number and email at 08 08 200 41 44 08 200 41 44. So another story, very interesting, on Dangwa Town Council commit job attachment for COSDEC trainees. So yeah, and many more other stories are very interesting for your readings. So do that, do subscribe, and then you can get your free copies every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. For me, it's our time now for me to say goodbye and wish you a very blessed day ahead. Well, stay tuned for other programs that are coming your way. And coming up is Helmut with Mind the Gap. And for me, a very good day and goodbye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.